Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Excited.
Oh, man. I really don't know how to start this podcast because Jen just keeps making these cheesy little smiles at me. But guess what? We made it. We made it a whole year. I guess it should be more of a congratulations to Jen for making it a whole year with me. Stop. I can't wait until I'm one of those old men that's just like, oh, 50 years you've survived being with me. So 1 year down.
Marriage.
80 to go or something like that.
Yeah. How long are we going to live? Yeah, but we're going to talk through just our four little, we kind of broke down, you know, four little tips that we've kind of learned throughout our first year of marriage and just what we've done throughout these different transitions, even within our first year, to really create some support for ourselves. And I think only drawn us closer as a,
definitely,
as a couple, and it's been really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Any year, I think anytime, whether it's New Year's or your birthday or whatever, and you look back on everything that's happened over the past year, it's always kind of crazy to be like, oh my gosh, all of that in one short little year.
Yeah.
And we really started out with kind of a bang after getting married because it was like, we got married and then it was a couple weeks later, we were packing up our apartment in Marina, heading out, like putting our stuff into storage, heading to Minnesota, and then traveling for like 5 months. It was like May until October that we traveled for about 5 months straight, and we were going all over the country, hanging out with friends, trying to keep up with some work, trying to still find connection and be like, hey, this is like technically our honeymoon, so we need to spend some time together too.
I know. So it was an interesting phase of really starting to manage all these different work like love integration is what we like to call it. We don't really believe in finding this quote unquote perfect balance. Everyone talks about the balance, the work-life balance,
work-life balance,
but it's really of like, it's a flow, it's an integration, it ebbs and flows, it moves, it changes. And so really understanding how we were going to move with those changes as we were continuing to travel was huge, because we'd go stay at different people's houses. And so obviously we want to socialize with them. We want to do things. We want to explore their city. And at the same time, we have this team to also support that is helping us out to crank all this content that we got out to you guys. So it was also, okay, how are we maintaining podcasts and how are we keeping up with things? And we'd have to find studios on the fly and videographers on the fly. And it was kind of a little crazy at times.
Yeah. And even just the scheduling, that was one huge point within this point, like, is scheduling and how important that can be. And every little decision, like, okay, we have to book flights and when we're flying in somewhere and are we getting a car or is someone able to pick us up? And so just like really understanding the importance of having that schedule together. And we have meetings every week with our team that like we're supposed to have at a regular time. And just from week to week, like those would be changing. And then even with each other, it's just like, okay, what day this week is going to be a social day, or what day am I going to cook in for the people who are hosting us so that we can show them our appreciation versus the two of us just going out to explore the town or, you know, going and finding something in nature that we can hike or go to a lake or something like that. So it really was, I love the work, life and love integration term, because I know that there are still people who work, you know, 9-to-5 jobs and your work and life are a bit more separate. But even within that, it's just like your work, you also have the work family. And how does that integrate with how you feel at home? Yeah. You know, how we work and the time that we spend at work definitely impacts how we feel in the rest of life and how we show up in the rest of life. So it still is an integration in some aspects.
And talking about scheduling, I remember we would sit on the plane and start to write into our calendar, here's going to be a work block here. Here's when we're going to podcast. Here's when we're going to hang with friends. Here's when we're going to do something just for ourselves. And we would literally schedule it into our calendar, that, and we have a shared calendar. So we both get, you know, these reminders of when something is coming up or when we scheduled something in. And it really helped to kind of, even if you're not going to stick to it fully, it's something we've taken into life now, you know, outside of traveling, outside of any of that, because it does just help to get some clarity and not feel that anxiety of the pressures of things, of like, how am I going to get to this all? And how am I going to manage my friends, but still maintain my work and do all these other things? And so I think having those written out schedules, sharing calendars, that's been a huge thing in our first year. That's really helped.
I mean, within the shared calendar, it's actually like six shared calendars that all are color coded. And it's like Jen's work calendar versus Dom's work calendar versus social calendars or podcast guests. Everything has some sort of color code to it, so that we know that if there are overlapping events, that means that we both have things at the same time. And so that was crazy. And it was great.
Yeah. And it still helps to today. And I mean, that bleeds into some of the other things we're going to talk about, which is like communication and stuff like that, because that was definitely a huge part of some of those little stressors that would come up with traveling and just learning how to, I think, get ahead of things.
Yeah.
And that's something that we always are in the practice of. I don't think it's something that you do or you just automatically, you know, oh, we figured it out. It's something that we're continuously in the practice of getting ahead of communication so that we can get ahead of these little stressors that happen. And that was a huge part of travel as well.
Totally. And the whole scheduling thing, like even if there's an open day coming up and it's like this is where it's always a continual practice because time keeps going, so even if you plan out a year or plan out a month, like that year is eventually going to be come and gone, and there's going to be new days that come up. And I'm realizing more and more now, like even if there's an open day and I have in my mind an idea of what I want to do on that day, like you might as well have an idea in your mind of what you want to do on that day. And if we don't communicate that with each other before we get to the day, then there might be some sort of expectation that gets broken on either side. And expectations are another huge thing, even with the schedule.
Yeah.
If we have a big schedule planned out, but then we get to a new city, it was like Austin, you know, there was someone we hadn't seen in a while in Austin that ended up wanting to hang out a couple other times. And so it's like the schedule might flex and things might change, and being open to how things can change and you can still achieve all the tasks that you need to. But if you really get crushed by that expectation hangover, then, you know, that's something that you're going to need to deal with.
Yeah. So learning to like not be so attached to things, that was really...
And I really struggle with that because I like to kind of have the schedule and know what's going on. And if that really changes, it's just like, okay, what's the point of putting it down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know, it's so funny because I'm a little bit more scatterbrained than you. So I might even put a work block in, but then be doing something else. And then I go into something else. And then I go and I just kind of end up bouncing, where you are like, this is my work block. This is what I'm doing. This is, and if a friend's like, let's do that, I'm like, okay.
Which is so weird. If there's anybody in, you know, that went to college with me or was in grad school with me, like I was known as the spontaneous one.
Yeah.
But which I still feel like I am relatively spontaneous, and that if I do have an open block and I love to just go and like, oh, let's go on a run, and then I'll just like get lost on random trails, run it. Like my spontaneity comes in different ways than it used to. But for me, just for my brain and being able to remember things, needing to have a schedule now has become pretty important to me.
Which is funny for me too, because I can think back and people would be like, Jen was not spontaneous. Like definitely needed everything planned, needed to know like what was happening. And I was like, I always am the rule follower.
Yeah, which as much, I think spontaneity maybe, but for you it's more of like a flow. It's like one of those pictures that has like 80 dots and then you just need to draw the line between all the dots and then it makes a picture.
That's me.
That's how your day is. I think that's how your average day is.
It is. You help keep me a little bit more in a somewhat congruent line, but
yeah. And so then I think towards the end of our travels, this is kind of where we're working into point two.
Yeah,
these are going to be big points and there's lots of lessons we feel we've learned within each point, but point number two is kind of coming around to learning to allow and always have awareness of your partner.
Yeah.
And I think we really realized that there was kind of a tragedy in the family real big health scare and tragedy that just brought a lot of sadness.
Yeah. It pulled us out of our travel. We were supposed to end up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And we immediately came back to California. And, you know, it was something that you know can happen, but you never want to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to mention what it is here, but because it's personal, it's for my family. But, you know, going through that was really hard. And so I knew I just wanted, like, all I can do is be here, because there's nothing I could do in that situation to make it better. There was nothing that I could fix as much as I wanted to. Yeah. And so all I could handle was being present and being here. But for you, you know, we missed that back end of being able to spend time in Minnesota. We missed being able to see your family, which I was very sad about as well. Like you know, wanted to see everyone. And so it was just such a hard time. And then Dom ended up leaving to go see your family. And that was a part of my allowance of like I understand needing family. Obviously, I'm going to stay here in California.
Yeah. And that's why we came back to California, you know, because as you say that, like, it was not to say that I wasn't really sad about what was going on in California, and that it's not that I didn't want to be there as well to support. But again, you know, when I hadn't seen my family in, you know, almost 5+ months at that point, and we had planned to be there for 2 weeks and had some things planned. We had planned to be together for Thanksgiving. It was just kind of like, it was really tough to come back home. And so I made a plan to go and surprise my mom. And mm-hmm. you're just like, yeah, like, of course I want you to be here with me and be able to, you know, be with me, and I'll be sad, but I want you to go be with your family. And so that was really tough.
Yeah.
'Cause I think in a way, just, you know, you seeing me there with them and having fun. And you know, I think I even put a post on a story that said something to the extent of like, the whole crew's here, because it had been so long since I've been with my whole family. And not often do my brother and sister-in-law, all four of our nephews, my parents and both of their partners, my younger brother, all get together at once. And so when I was saying that on the post, I'm more so talking about all the other members of my family, which you're a part of. And mm-hmm. so that's something where I didn't quite have the awareness of, like, Jen's not here. Mm-hmm. So not putting anything on there saying like, minus Jen, you know, sad you can't be with us. And you kind of see that. And rather than sharing with me in the joy of being with family, it's almost like, you forgot about me. Like, I'm sitting here.
I was going through so many emotions at that time too. And so it was like this battle of like, don't control like what he does, like allow. But also the sadness, like, I mean, I just had so many triggers. I get FOMO so easily too. Like, all my friends will know this
so
about
FOMO
me.
FOMO on top of like trauma.
Yeah, FOMO on top of trauma. FOMO for not being there. FOMO for feeling left out. But then also like the trauma that I'm going through with my family, and like it was just all multiplied. And so it was a lot. And so I think like the biggest lesson there for us is, one, like, we're always going to allow. We're going to allow our partner to do what feels best for them. So like for me, I'm going to allow him to go to Minnesota, especially if there's nothing he can do here, right? There was no surgeries happening. There was nothing, you know, moving forward. So it was nothing that he could do. So yes, I'm going to allow him to go, and he's going to allow me to stay and not feel like you have to come with me.
Yeah.
You know, and having that allowance of us as individuals, I think was so pertinent to our own individual needs. But then also, you know, having that little awareness of like, okay, I'm going, like, I had to ask to not be shared within the group text during that time, because it was all just laughs and giggles.
That's more of like awareness of my family, because they kept adding you into
I know, to things text. Where I was just like, I'm not happy right now. Like, I can cry right now thinking back to like how I felt in that moment, because there was a lot of sadness. And so like being like, it's just that awareness of like, if someone's sad, don't like bombard them with all these like,
I know they were like, my family was wanting to, again, because my family was missing you and wanting to be with you and wanting to make you feel included. So they're just like, oh, like, let's take a picture and send it to Jen. And I just would kind of have to say like, let her be right now. I don't think she wants to get those types of pictures. And so, that was really tough. And in a similar sense, like, the allowance and awareness when we were healing through
miscarriage.
The miscarriage, mm-hmm. which we talked about a lot in two previous episodes. The same way, like we heal very differently mm-hmm. than everyone else. Like that's a very individual journey, and how someone else is healing doesn't necessarily, or how they look on the outside doesn't necessarily always reflect how they're feeling on the inside, and they might have different strategies than you. So there were times that I wanted to go and be with friends because mm-hmm. I was okay being in that environment and just saying like, hey, I just would rather not talk a ton. I'm doing okay. I'm still healing, but just wanted to be with you guys.
Yeah. And I could not.
And like, you would not want to be there.
I knew that there was people who triggered me in that moment because they didn't know how to manage and handle what we were going through or what I had just experienced. And I mean, we talked about this in length. It's just hard for people to understand what you're emotionally going through and physically going through unless you've been yeah. through it. And so I just knew I needed to not put myself in situations that I didn't feel like I would get the support I needed at the time. And so there was that that amount of allowance, like he's going to go, I'm going to stay, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And again,
Again.
Having that awareness, right? Of like, okay, she's staying, so I'm not going to like be out all night long, but also, so it's just, it's playing with this balance, and you have to be able to talk and communicate with your partner, not trying to do it in a controlling way, but trying to do it in a way of like, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm needing.
Yeah, which plays right into our third biggest point, which is communication, like, which really was woven within those first two points we talked about. And because kind of around the same time we came back home, we were moving into a new house, mm-hmm. right? And we had just gotten this brand new house. And of course, when you start filling a home and creating your space, there's a lot to communicate about.
Yeah, a lot of different responsibilities.
Totally. And just when you're living with somebody, there's mm-hmm. a lot to communicate about in general. And we, of course, had lived together before, but not at a place nearly this big. Mm-hmm. We were in a one-bedroom apartment, and it was in a complex where they do some tasks for you, or they yeah. might come and do some of the maintenance on the apartment for you, yeah. which now all fell on us to either do ourselves or delegate out and hire somebody, yeah. and just the general day-to-day, the laundry, the trash, the yeah. all of the duties that come along with that.
Yeah. And so being able to, and this kind of plays into our last one as well, but like just making sure that you're communicating again and getting ahead before you know that stress for yourself that's going yeah. to take over. And I think like that's always a big one for us is like, I get crazy cleaning before friends or someone comes over.
But she doesn't care if the house is an absolute disaster.
That is not true.
Any other time that is not of our true. Living day.
If anyone were to walk in on any other day, they'd be like, oh my God, it's clean.
And I'm a little OCD when it comes to that, where yes. I would prefer clean countertops in the kitchen at any time, you know?
All the time, yeah.
I love when just things are away. It looks clean. It looks nice. And then all of a sudden, people are about to come over and Jen's like, we need a clean.
Well, I need it. Like, when someone comes over, it's not just like clean. Like, I need it immaculate when someone comes over. And so, like, for me, it's like, well, if I want help with that, I really have to communicate the task I directly want. Like, I can't expect, oh, he's upstairs. He's probably going to make the bed. It's fine. You know, like,
I'm getting triggered right now. I'm just
kidding. I need to communicate it. And same with him on a day-to-day task where he wants things. Like if I have my turmeric, put that coffee thing away, or not the coffee, but the kennel.
Words.
Not where Kai sleeps. The kettle. Yeah.
Yeah. The coffee kettle, or just like dishes. Like I'm a type of person where I cook, I eat, and I clean up all the things as I go.
Eating.
Like
yeah,
I clean up the pots and pans that I use. And then when I'm done eating, I just walk it over, wash it off, put it away. And sometimes Jen will eat, leave it on the counter for a little bit, go to the couch, work a little bit.
And then come back.
And then come back a little bit later, eat something else, leave that there as well.
No. Okay, at the end of the night, it does get put away.
At the end of the night.
But that's it. That's my thing.
But and that's where my, and I get some weird OCD things, I think, from my dad. Thanks a lot, Dad.
Just if it's not done right away.
Well, just if I'm walking through the kitchen and yeah. I see a dirty plate and a dirty fork and a cup, and I'm just like, okay, take it, clean it, put it away. Just because I, like I just said, I like the counters clean, especially if I'm going to be cooking later. I don't want dishes to already be in the sink because then I'll cook and I'll clean those dishes as well. And so that's just something that came up for me. It's just like, I would love if you tried to be more aware of putting that stuff away or cleaning as, you know, as you go, which again, that's my expectation that it gets done in that order. And that's something that I really needed to kind of shut off. Like, okay, that's what I do, but is it really bad or is it hurting anything if she saves all of her dishes until the end of the day and does them?
But that's where I think like coming back to that communication before it happens. So for him, if like, if he's walking by it and it's something that is affecting him, like mentally, needs to just say it in that moment. Like, it needs to be communicated. Hey, can you remember like to do this rather than waiting until it boils up and it's something like, you never put this away, or, you know?
And there was an instance where it was like, there were a few dishes that got left out throughout the day, and then I cooked, and then I cleaned all the dishes from cooking, and I even cleaned all the dishes that you and I used for dinner, but I still left those other dishes just out and about. And then for me, that kind of takes it to that step where like, okay, yeah, I could say, well, you were going to clean them at the end of the day, or that's what you always say you're going to do. But it's getting to the point where it's kind of petty, where I'm just like, it comes a little passive aggressive, where I don't say anything about it. I just like leave those few dirty dishes just like sitting there, even though I clean the entire like rest of the kitchen. And so it's like, just say something, or I could, as I'm cooking, I could say, hey, can you come and clean these because I'm going to clean up the rest of the dishes as I go.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't become an issue in either way. And I can communicate how I feel. I don't want to do these dishes because I know you've been saving them and are going to do them later. And I know that you would do that, but I'd love if it was clear.
Yeah. And so it's like, we've gotten so much better on those like petty little things or passive aggressive things of just, again, getting ahead of the communication. Even if you think it's not going to bother me, it's fine. It's fine. Like, don't let it be fine. I think that's like the biggest thing. It's okay if it's not fine. Just if that's what you are feeling in that, just say something. It's always so much better than letting it fester.
Totally. I've got a few more examples that we could.
Oh my goodness. Here we go. It's become a whole new podcast.
All right. Number four is setting of goals. I mean, we also have shared kind of on our New Year episode coming into this year, how we set goals and intentions for every month and how it's not always perfect and how we're not always the greatest at filling them out, even especially during the last year when we were traveling for that long stretch. But how it's important for us to set goals, and that can be very effective for us to change certain behaviors or to get, I don't know, get our system and our bodies feeling a certain type of way because of something we know we've been ignoring and we know we want to put more effort towards.
Yeah. So I think definitely go back and listen to that episode because we go into a lot more detail. We give examples of what kind of goals, but just like a broad overview, we do our three couple goals, and that's like, what are we missing this month? You know, like what can we do to add into that connection time to make it more intentional? Like a lot of people will just say, oh, I'm going to do a date night. Okay, but what does that look like? What does that mean? How often? What day are you
going
to do it?
Are you going out? Is it a date night in?
Yeah.
So
I think getting like specific on goals really helped to just connect us in any different area that we were in. So like it had to adjust when we went through the miscarriage. It's had to, and again, that's where it ebbs and flows and it changes. And without holding on to those expectations, but being aware of the accountability we want to put not only on our individual goals for ourselves, but on our partnership goals is so, and it's been so helpful. And I see that, and we don't only put it in a book, we put it right on our refrigerator so everyone walking in gets to see our goals too, but but it just, so
sometimes
it helps,
we have to write
so
them
much
in code.
Yeah, I know.
So people don't know exactly what our partnership goals are, but we do three partnership goals, and then we also do like the three individual goals, personal things we want to work on, and three individual business goals, which, because we work together, essentially is working on the same thing.
But different. I mean, we have different tasks.
I mean, we have very different tasks, but I mean, our business is integrated. Yes. So to point one, integrated very much so with our life and our love. But holding each other accountable to that and being able to, you know, have that on the fridge. I like to write them on my board in my office as well. Mm-hmm. And for example, this month, like coming into this month, we were traveling.
Wrote them in a note on the phone.
So we wrote them in a note on the phone, but we didn't even do our business goals. We just did three personal and three relationship goals. Mm-hmm. And so, were we perfect this month at filling out all of the goals as we normally do? No, but I don't know. We live an imperfect life as humans. And so, being able to ebb and flow with it. And we didn't put them up on our board. So, you know,
we have been really good on one.
You know, we have been very good on, and on a few on others. I've been listening to my book every morning instead of turning on Netflix right away on my phone when I do my exercise. So it's like the little things that kind of stick with you just because you took the time to write it down.
Yes.
Is huge. But also, and a big part that we've talked about in a few of the other, you know, things that we've learned throughout this first year is expectations. Mm-hmm. Expectations can absolutely crush you. 100%. So if you set these goals and that's your expectation, I'm going to achieve this, it's going to be a great month, and then you don't achieve any of them or you do very poorly at some of them, that can be really disappointing and set you up to kind of tank after that.
Yeah, so I think that's what's like most important. It's created more joy in our relationship on a day-to-day basis, is letting go of those expectations, communicating ahead of stressors, being an allowance of who my partner is and how they need to be and where they need to go in order to feel fulfilled. I mean, all of these things has been, and integrating this work life balance is not balance, integration, since we do this together, you know, it's pretty crazy, but that's our life. And it's been a really incredible first year, even through some crises that came up and some challenges along the way outside of anything that we would have ever hoped or expected, but it's all worked out.
Yeah. Life can throw a lot at you in one short year, which is crazy. And it makes me super excited for all of the other years and the amount of time that we get to just go at life together and wake up every day and do it all over again. Grateful for this woman I get to do this podcast with and live life with, and happy anniversary, one whole year.
1 year. Woo! Woo!
Let's do it again.
Yes. And again. And again. And again. Thanks for joining us on that one. We don't do these often. Obviously, this is not a relationship podcast, but we think it is helpful. It's part of the body. It's part of healing. It's mentally what we're doing in partnership. And this is what we do together. So I hope that you were able to just get some little insight into us, and maybe it'll help you in your own relationship. And of course, if you're liking the podcast, we really hope that you have subscribed so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you can, just leave us a little rate and review. It really helps so that more people get access to understanding their bodies in a deeper way. And we'll see you next time.